IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. President Bush and senior members of his administration say there's no truth to reports the CIA warned them about an allegation against Iraq made in his last State of the Union address. The White House later admitted the remark about Iraq's attempts to buy uranium in Niger was an error. Today, both the president and his national security advisor said intelligence agencies cleared the statement before Bush's speech in January. An al-Qaeda operative reportedly told FBI agents the terror group considered targeting national forests in the western U.S. The Arizona Republic reports that it obtained a copy of an FBI memo outlining the statement from a top al-Qaeda operative. The detainee said he put together a plan to touch off forest fires in Colorado, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming. A man labeled a suspect in the murders of five family members is returning to Bakersfield, California, where the crimes were committed. In Elizabeth City, North Carolina, Vincent Brothers' lawyer read a statement this morning on his client's behalf. Attorney Curtis Floyd said Brothers wants his space.
Mr. Brothers' main priority at this time is to return home so that he can make funeral arrangements for his family and he can say goodbye to his loved ones. He needs time to grieve, and therefore he asks for time and for space from the community at large.
Brothers will return home later today as a grieving father, husband, and son-in-law. According to Floyd, the primary reason for Brothers' return is to make funeral arrangements for his wife and three children. People in northeast Indianapolis will have to wait before they can assess flood damage to their homes and businesses. The White River has yet to reach its crest, even though several blocks of the Ravenswood neighborhood are already underwater. Some homeowners were able to hold the rising water back with sandbags. Others are using boats just to go shopping.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the trunk.
And where are we going, Vince?
Yeah, you know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Tire iron.
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Accused serial bomber Eric Rudolph, a man federal authorities have hunted for 5 years, goes to federal court in Alabama today. The government is revising its case against Rudolph in the bombing of a Birmingham abortion clinic. A security guard was killed in the blast. The government today will attempt to include the possibility of the death penalty should Rudolph be convicted. For the first time, members of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board will speak publicly about this week's dramatic test that may prove how the space shuttle was lost during reentry. Board members may also explain why the release of their final report is being pushed back until the end of August.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
A day after he hit one of the Milwaukee Brewers' sausage mascots with his bat, Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman Randall Simon says he's sorry.
This might change not only me, but a lot of my, you know, every other player in the big leagues, you know, to a lot of times, you know, to just watch good what you're going to do before you decide to, you know, to do something.
Simon was cited for disorderly conduct yesterday and fined $432 after knocking down a 19-year-old woman wearing a sausage costume during Wednesday night's sausage race at Miller Park. Simon says he hopes other players won't follow in his footsteps in the future. You may be delivering pornography from your computer without knowing it. Computer hackers are installing software on unsuspecting people's computers and using them to send advertisements for pornographic websites. The New York Times reports the computer owners don't even realize it's happening. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know? And when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as afterrun, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, and broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com, as well as archived at whiterosesociety.org. Welcome to our program. What are the consequences of George Bush lying to Americans and the world about weapons of mass destruction? It seems like this is not going to go away. This is, you know, creeping up on today. Condoleezza Rice in Uganda, a country where I've spent some time, a beautiful nation, one not without some serious problems. Condoleezza Rice saying that, the CIA said that everything's fine with that information in that State of the Union speech. And then we get the CIA saying, well, no, maybe not. And here's what George Bush, by the way, just to remind you what this is all about.
Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
That's right out of the State of the Union address. And the reality is somewhat different than that. The reality goes a little beyond that. In fact, here, as George Bush was saying this in his 2003 State of the Union address, America took him at his word. But according to the New York Times, on July 6th of 2003, the CIA knew that this was false. According to the New York Times, the State Department knew it was false. According to NBC News, on June 26th, the White House knew it was false. It's time to tell the truth. Democrats.org/truth has got this petition to make your voice heard. Time will tell. We'll see how this thing shakes out. Is this an impeachable offense? Is this something that's even going to get this guy in trouble? Is he going to be able to pull another Teflon presidency thing? You know, I mean, it was when the scandals were coming out about George Bush doing his insider trading, Harkin Energy deal, where he parlayed a little bit of stock in a company that his father's friends helped him buy into an $800,000 profit by selling it just a few days before the company, on whose committee he served that audited the company, announced that they were losing money. So he sells his stock, he shows a big profit, the stock drops a couple days later. This is exactly, this, by the way, is not what's called corporate crime. This isn't a corporation committing a crime. People say that the Martha Stewart thing is about, you know, ending corporate crime. Well, Martha Stewart is not being charged with corporate crime. She's being charged with insider trading, which is an individual's crime. It's not what MCI or WorldCom or, you know, it's not about a corporation cooking its books. It's about an individual making a profit from insider trading, from insider knowledge. And when this information was coming out, that this was exactly the same thing that George Bush had done way back 10, 12 years ago, that Martha Stewart has been charged with, when that information was coming out and when Dick Cheney was being sued, and it was looking like there was some nefarious deals there going on with Halliburton and Cheney with his Energy Commission and Judicial Watch, the right-wing group that whose lawsuit ultimately led to Bill Clinton's impeachment trial before the United States House of Representatives, that when all that stuff was coming out, suddenly, you know, this was in fall of 2000, summer and fall of 2002, suddenly Iraq comes front and center. They've always been able to change the topic. You know, when the stories were coming out about Ken Lay and his having his own desk at the White House and George Bush flying around on Ken Lay's private jet throughout his 2000 campaign, all of a sudden there was, the news. They have been so good, this Bush White House, at managing the spin of the news, probably better than any White House in history. I mean, Clinton was very good at this, but these people have elevated this to an art form. And I'm just amazed, frankly, that this thing has stuck as long as it has, and that the press is finally starting to say, hey, wait a minute. And I have to say that I think that the issue is really bigger than this. The issue is larger than just, you know, was this little clip here.
Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
That it's bigger than just this. And this was the point that Howard Dean made this morning on National Public Radio. I don't think it was part of the NPR feed. I think it was just here in Vermont that we heard it on Vermont Public Radio. But basically, Howard Dean said, one of three things has happened here. Either our intelligence apparatus, our CIA Defense Intelligence Agency, our intelligence apparatus has gone completely haywire. Either they have failed. I mean, we're talking about a fairly large nation that had, at the very least, investigators, possibly even spies, that is the UN inspection team, Kay, I guess his name is, the guy who was a member of Scott Ritter's inspection team before, and is now the darling of the right wing, running around doing the right wing talk shows, has now admitted that he was spying while he was there. And so you've got either we had spies on the ground in the country, or we had, at the very least, we had the UN inspectors there. We've got aerial surveillance. We've got defectors. How can we not know what's going on inside another country? And if we have any uncertainty at all, how can we declare war on another country? I mean, this is, would we want another country declaring war on us over a level of uncertainty like that? So either number one, our intelligence apparatus has failed. Or, number two, somebody was feeding misinformation to the President of the United States. Somebody in the intelligence community or somebody in his own administration was doing this nasty thing, feeding wrong information to the guy that's supposed to tell us the truth about what's going on. Or, number three, the guy who told us, George W. Bush, lied to us. It's got to be one of those three. Which one is it? Well, now the finger pointing begins. But my point is that, you know, everybody's focusing on this thing about the uranium in Africa, in Niger or Niger, I guess is how the French say it. I'm not sure if it's a French-speaking country. It's an African country I've not visited. But in any case, everybody's pointing to this one incident, this one situation, this one claim. But what if it's, in my mind, this is a whole much larger thing. I mean, here the president in his speeches was evoking 9/11. at the same time that he was talking about Saddam Hussein. And yet we now know Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. So there is a much larger deception here, in my opinion, than just the uranium claim. This is just the tip of the iceberg, I think. We'll see how it plays out. 1-800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to participate in the program, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Dallas is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Mark.
How you doing? Thanks, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How other than a wild echo in my ear here, okay, how are you, Mark?
Say, just a couple of quick points to consider. The questions come up whether or not the president was under oath when he gave the State of the Union address. And
right.
I went back to the Constitution, and in Article 2, Section 3, it states specifically that the State of the Union address is a specific duty of the president in exercising his responsibilities.
Yes.
So the question then is, well, does it matter? Well, it does if you go back and look at the oath of office that the president swears to, where he states that he'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. So my interpretation is that technically he's under an oath of law as if in a courtroom. It may not have the exact same legal standing when he stands up and he gives that address.
And therefore you think that this rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't disagree. In fact, I made that point on this program yesterday, and others have made it. I think it's well taken, Mark, and thanks for calling in and adding that point to our discussion. And as I said, this may be, you know, like Monica Lewinsky was for Bill Clinton, this may be the hook that everybody hangs this particular hat on. Or it may be something much larger. I think the issue that Dean raised this morning, frankly, is the much larger one, and that is, do we have a defective intelligence service? I mean, here we are, the country with 10,000 nuclear warheads or thereabouts. We spend more on military in the United States, on our military service, than all of Europe combined. We have the largest military machine in the world. Here we are with this giant weapon. Are we blind? I mean, it's like in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. You know, his running around with an assault weapon in one hand and a missile launcher in the other, and he's blindfolded. I mean, do we not know what's going on in other countries, or is there another agenda here? Could it be that Iraq is sitting on the largest relatively virgin supply of oil on Earth? So far as we know, it looks like there may be some off the coast of West Africa. Well, we know there is. Ivory Coast, for example, the country just to the south of Liberia, huge oil reserves there. Liberia has not yet been explored, and just north of Liberia there's huge oil reserves. And, of course, there's Nigeria where all over Western Africa. We're getting about 15% of our oil from Western Africa right now. So we've got this issue. But I'd say there's this larger thing. Okay, the furor over the CIA role in the weapons of mass destruction claim. Senior Bush administration officials, Condoleezza Rice. Now, the CBS, in response to Condi's speech, before this from CBSNews.com, before the speech was delivered, the portions dealing with Iran's weapons of mass destruction were checked with the CIA for accuracy, according to CBS National Security correspondent David Martin. CIA officials warned members of the president's national security staff that the intelligence was not good enough to make the flat statement that Iraq tried to buy uranium from Africa, sources tell CBS News. Now, Colin Powell is trying to say it's an honest mistake. Condoleezza Rice is trying to say, oh, it's the CIA's fault. Everybody, you know, the White House this morning, I heard a news report on a local radio station. The White House is saying, well, now we know better how to vet the president's speeches. This is probably Ari Fleischer or somebody there saying that. So, you know, well, it was a mistake and we learned from it and we'll do things better in the future. All these different ways of trying to spin this thing. How is this spin going to play out? Be interesting to see. John in Long Beach got you on the line here. We got a break coming up. I'll take your call right after the break. Stick around, John. Stick around, our listeners. Thank you for being with us here. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And Accor Hotel.
Hello, Dental Group.
Ah.
Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Today we're asking the question, what are the consequences of George Bush lying to Americans and the world about weapons of mass destruction and the bigger picture of that? You know, what are the consequences of this administration declaring war on another nation that apparently was not a threat to us, or at least not as direct a threat as many other nations arguably are. I mean, there are other nations that are hostile to us, Korea, North Korea, for example, that have missiles that are capable of reaching the shore of California. I mean, some really serious thing. Anyhow, our quotes for the day, I've got two back-to-back. The first from Abraham Lincoln in 1861. You can fool some of the people all of the time and all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. A quote you're probably familiar with. And the second one, back-to-back, a bookend for it, from George W. Bush in 2001. He said, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and those are the ones you have to concentrate on. 1-800-TALK-YES is the telephone number if you'd like to be on the Tom Hartman program. 1-800-825-5937. And John in Long Beach, California is on the line. John, welcome to our program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I get to what I called about on the Abraham Lincoln quote, you can fool some of the people.
Yes.
I paraphrased it. I said, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time. If you got that going for you, you don't have to fool all the people all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's been the motto, apparently, of a lot of both politicians and corporate leaders for a long, long time.
Exactly. Now, the other thing is, this is an old saying, keep your eyes on the prize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this business with the fraudulent nonsense of Africa and the uranium, I think the Republicans are using this as a kind of a smokescreen to divert our attention to the other important lies. For instance, the tons and tons of Syrian gas this guy was supposed to have, not based on somebody said or allegations, but we know they have them.
Right.
We know.
Don Rumsfeld actually even went on TV and said he knew where it was.
45 minutes.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I spoke over you there.
Oh, we know they have these missile launchers that they're ready to fire in 45 minutes. We know they have these drone planes that can carry chemical weapons or whatever over here and drop them on us. These were not, we think they might have, or they could have. These were, we know they have, and we know where these weapons are. So these weren't just relying on some other country's information. These
right.
are the outright deliberate lies, and these are the things that should be kept, that they should focus on.
Yeah, I think the problem has been for the press that to focus on those things specifically, you can kind of jump up and down all day long and say, look at that, he lied, look at that, he lied. And people go, yeah, so? I mean, the White House, their response has been basically, well, you know, maybe we'll find this stuff, maybe we won't, but it doesn't matter because the American people still love George Bush and they love the war, and anytime you got a war and you got victory, that's a wonderful thing. But here you have... in the State of the Union address, which is arguably when the president is under oath, making an explicit claim that apparently, and this may be the smoking gun, he knew at the time was a lie. In other words, the president lied to the American people in a major policy, in the State of the Union address, and so that might be more legally potent, and I think that that's what's got the media going on this. I'm not sure I subscribe to your notion that the Republicans like this, although you might be right. I mean, it's an interesting theory.
Of course, you know, another thing, too, it's all right for this president to lie as long as it's not about sex.
Yeah, well, that's, how many was it? Four of the different congressmen who were involved in trying to impeach Bill Clinton, including Newt Gingrich, turned out they were having affairs
at the very time
that they were impeaching Clinton.
But Beck says she was fired after complaining about the constantly changing shift schedules. Firing someone for voicing simple concerns about workplace conditions is against the law. Beck sued and Walmart settled the case this week for $7,000, which includes back pay with interest and attorney's fees.
For the first time ever, in-home caregivers in Oregon have a shot at a new labor contract. Some 13,000 caregivers with Service Employees International Union won a tentative deal last month following a landmark constitutional amendment, which in 2000 gave public employees the right to collective bargaining. If the workers approve the contract, they'll have access to workers' compensation and health care coverage for the first time, along with an immediate 40-cent per hour wage increase and other perks.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47. Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. It is 27 minutes before the hour. Our quote for the day, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time, Abraham Lincoln said. And George Bush, of course, said 2 years ago, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and those are the ones you have to concentrate on. Yes, indeed. I'm sure he said that tongue-in-cheek. I'm sure it was a joke. I'm sure it wasn't a statement of policy. But there is a certain irony given the events of the moment and what's going on in the United States. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number to be on the program today. It's Friday. We've got a bunch of things to cover here, but we can also go in any direction you'd like. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Phil in Tampa, Florida is on the line. Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Listen, Phil. This program and others are programs I listen to every day, but the reality is we're talking to each other,
mm-hmm.
by and large. And I have a unique method that I think we can help inform the public, and it doesn't cost any money. And
okay.
Here it is. I think you'll agree that the BuzzFlash.com is the alternative to, Mr. Conservative, Drudge Report.
It's one of several. I think that CommonDreams.org is another excellent one.
Pick one. Here's the plan. I want everyone in the audience who's listening to the show to listen to it. Take out your wallet. Take out every $1 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, whatever you got in your wallet, and do it once a day, once every 3 days, and take a pencil and write on the money in a pencil buzzflash.com or commondreams.com. Just write it on each one.
Mm-hmm.
That currency is going to circulate. I don't know how many times before they destroy it. Probably 20 times.
Yeah.
If 20 people times five, times the five, let's say, paper currencies you have in your wallet, that's 100. And if you do that,
you realize, Phil, that you're suggesting something that I think is a felony.
What?
Defacing American currencies against the law, isn't it?
Well, first of all, you're doing it in pencil, so it's not permanent.
Okay.
And secondly, I don't think the currency police are...
Yeah, they're not going to track us down. Let's hope not.
I don't think so. But I think it's an easy way of publicizing our point of view that doesn't cost any money, and it takes, if you took a stopwatch, probably less than 2 minutes to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting idea.
I mean, You had let's just say you got, I don't know, just to pull a figure out, 10,000 people listening to this show right now. If 10,000 people took out five bills and did that, the multiplication factor's there.
Yeah, it's funny. In our chat room right now, if you want to get into the chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the chat room link. One of the folks in there said, I grow hemp, and he writes it on singles all the time. Oh, my. As George Washington said in his diary, as he kept track of his plants. But that's a whole other topic. Phil, thank you very much for that. I appreciate the comment and the suggestion. It's an interesting one, right? Buzzflash.com, CommonDreams.org, OpEdNews.com, AlterNet.com, TomPaine.com. There's a number of excellent news sites and commentary sites out there. And Phil is suggesting... I'm not, but Phil, just in case the currency police are coming at me, Phil, who we don't know where he is, other than in Florida, is suggesting that you can write that on your dollar bills and it'll get around. 1-800-TALK, yes, is the number on this Friday afternoon, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut is on the line. Tim, welcome to the program.
Well, I'm not sure that I want to go on around defacing money. Probably a more productive thing might be to join a political organization, locally in whatever state you're in, and get involved with, and you could probably do a lot more serious work than trying to get grocery tellers to look at your paper money and then write down Buzzflash. Buzzflash is nice, but you know, it's such a democratic site that it's not very useful to me. I don't know.
So you would write down greens.org, right, Tim?
Well, what I saw today in the New York Times was the fact that Nader is one of the other people that's starting to use the term impeachment.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, you know, if other people are going to follow up on Nader's lead about, you know, these terms. I've heard a couple of your callers, starting to use that kind of term. I mean, the consequences of what this president has done is far more serious than Clinton's. The possibility of people dying, you know, what is it costing us, $1 billion a month to be in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're losing practically a soldier a day.
Four billion.
Oh my gosh! Excuse me, that's even more startling. All of that money, of course, you know, going over there to essentially impound those people, and it's not building schools, building light rail, it's not bringing about a national health care system. So.
But it is making a lot of money for Halliburton Corporation, for Bechtel Corporation, for Exxon Mobil Corporation, and a lot of that money is making its way back to the Republican Party as campaign contributions.
Well, I think a lot of it is probably making its way back to Joe Lieberman and some of the other people. So,
sure.
So I'm looking for that spine implant for the Democratic Party. We Greens, you know, we're not in power. We're not U.S. senators right now. So where can we get some spines for the Joe Liebermans, the Gephardt, who missed an important vote on... overtime pay, Howard Dean is one thing. Dennis Kucinich, who's a great long shot and a great charismatic man, but may not win the primary. So, you know, for Kerry, Graham, all the rest of these people, Edwards, you know, where is their spine? I mean, is it just that simple? Are they waiting for more people? You know, perhaps it is time for the people just to get out front and be the actual leaders, you know, and start this movement, start calling upon an impeachment investigation, and then, you know, these spineless Democrats can follow along later. 6 months from now, we may have something, but right now, it's going to have to be a grassroots people of telling other people that let's start using the term impeachment, because the line about the Al-Qaeda connection, this situation, essentially lying under oath, which I think is a great point that people need to start talking to other people. He went up to tell Congress and tell the entire world and the United States what our status was, and it's cost young women and men their lives. So if this isn't an impeachable kind of offense, a crime and misdemeanor, what is?
Right. Now, Tim, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but I certainly think that this is, if it turns out that George Bush lied to us, particularly
in
the State of the Union address,
that he lied.
And knew that he lied, that is a much greater crime, hardcore crime, than lying in a civil court under oath about whether or not you had sex with somebody.
And repeatedly doing it, going on the Saturday broadcast, before Congress, Rumsfeld, all the rest of these stuff, with this continuous, you know, line. And unfortunately, you know, the spin out there, let's put our black leader Colin Powell on Larry King and all these other things to kind of downplay this, isn't going to sell, unfortunately, because people are concerned about that. So I urge people to call their local talk shows, keep calling this, you know, let's start using the term very seriously. Ralph's starting to use it here in the New York Times today, impeachment.
Right.
That's very serious term.
Yeah, Tim, in fact, I've got that New York Times article here. Well, actually, this is a different one that Will Nader run. But, Tim, you're a Green. Are you familiar with the RepentantNaderVoter.com website?
No, I'm not. What's this?
Okay.
Repentant Voter.
RepentantNaderVoter.com. Let me just bounce this off you, okay? Just a couple paragraphs here. I'll read them. I'd love to hear your response because you're an articulate spokesperson for that for the Greens here, and I appreciate that. It says, "Dear Ralph," this is an open letter to Ralph Nader. "When George W. Bush squeaked into the office, you were unrepentant about your decision to run for president in 2000. I'm going to skip through this.
Yeah.
Initially, your unrepentant stance was admirable. It was ridiculous for Gore Democrats to try to shift the blame for Gore's loss from Gore himself to you. And even after Bush was selected, the logic of your presidential campaign was more convincing than ever. The Republican and Democratic parties appear to be essentially indistinguishable. But as time has passed, it's become clear to us, the people who voted for you, that your campaign was a mistake. Why? Tweedledee is still Tweedledee, but Tweedledum has turned into a global tyrant. Since entering office, George W. Bush has surprised even those who feared him most. He has neglected the poor and the uninsured while piling tax breaks on those who don't need them. He has undermined the ability of the United Nations to uphold the international rule of law. He has waged an illegal war, killing and wounding thousands of civilians and soldiers. He has weakened the Bill of Rights and more. His presidency has been so destructive that the premise of your campaign, that the two parties are controlled by the same special interests and are therefore identical, has been proven wrong. If Al Gore were our president, we can be sure that significant disasters would have been avoided, including the tax cuts for the rich, the near destruction of the United Nations, the Iraq War, and more."
Well, let me just say that I think what Ralph is talking about right now in today's New York Times, and others, it was what I said at the time also, the Afghanistan situation, where we had to go and invade that country because of that. You know, that's a criminal situation. You know, those people who flew those planes in were not Afghani nationals. They were criminals, and that there was no direct connection with Afghanistan.
Right, that's a point I made in an op-ed I wrote for CommonDreams.org called The Crime of the Century.
You know, I don't know where Al Gore is hiding. You know, he still has a national platform. He could probably be on any numerous talk shows, anything else right now. Same thing
actually,
with Bill Clinton.
Tim, he has
where
had a few
are the
press
Democrats
conferences that have been ignored.
I point the finger at Ralph Nader all day long, all night. But Ralph Nader wasn't bombing aspirin factories. Ralph Nader wasn't also circumventing the United Nations in numerous cases and stuff. So, you know, the fact that the Democratic Party is not standing up, does not have a spine right now, is not Ralph Nader's fault. It's just the fact that the Greens and others are trying to present a real alternative. And if we have to lead and say it's time for impeachment of Bush, let the Democrats follow us.
Well, well said, Tim.
Thanks a lot.
Well
Tom.
Said, and let's also work for proportional representation, or more likely and more rationally in our system, because it won't require as much structural change. Instant runoff voting across the United States, so that parties like the Greens and parties on the right as well can participate more actively in our political process without throwing the balance. So that we have, like here in Vermont, we've got a situation where we've got a governor who was elected with 40-some-odd% of the vote.
All those dastardly progressives.
Well, you know, it's
do they get as much blame as the Green Party up there?
You know, I know Anthony Polina, the guy who ran here, and he's a good guy. No, I don't think they get a lot of blame, and you know, I probably shouldn't confess this on the air, I voted for Ralph Nader in the last election.
Oh, my gosh. You should be thrown off immediately.
But, see, I live in Vermont. I knew that it was a safe vote.
As it is in many states. But if we had a situation where we had the instant runoff, here's my first choice, Nader. Here's my second choice, Gore, all that stuff. More people would probably show up at the polls and feel good
That's
about
right.
their votes.
That's right. And they've been doing this in Australia for two decades, and it's been working very, very well, a variation in instant runoff voting.
And now that we have the push for electronic voting machines, which will make it even easier, hopefully if they have verifiable paper ballots, and now is the time to push for this stuff. Unfortunately, it's the state houses all across this country where people are trying to cover their own butt and protect their own little fiefdoms instead of just saying, we want more people in the process. Let's have our own little club be the only ones there.
Yeah, there you go. Tim, thanks for the call.
All right,
I appreciate you calling in and good comments there. A U.S. report on 9/11 to be explosive. This from the Miami Herald. Yesterday's newspaper, former Representative Tim Romer, who served on the House Intelligence Committee and who has read the report. This apparently the long-awaited final report about 9/11 is going to be published in the next week and will be made public about a week later. It's going to the government printing office late this week, which is presumably today or tomorrow. And he says it's, quote, highly explosive, end quote. A source familiar with the investigation, speaking on condition of anonymity, cited two sensitive areas of the report, the ties between the Saudi royal family, government officials, and terrorists being one, and a coherent narrative of the intelligence warnings being the other. For example, the report will show, and I'm quoting now from the Miami Herald, the report will show that top Bush administration officials were warned in the summer of 2001 that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network had plans to hijack aircraft and launch a spectacular attack, end quote, which is probably why in August George Bush took the longest vacation in the history of the American presidency, left Washington, D.C. for the entire month of August and part of September, and why John Ashcroft took the unprecedented step of stopping all aircraft travel, all flights, period, starting in August. I mean, all in August, all of a sudden, all of these guys, Cheney goes off to his undisclosed locations, all of these guys' behavior suddenly changes. And when Bush is sitting there in that classroom in Florida, and they come up to him and they tell him what's going on, and his first question apparently was it the terrorists? This was not unexpected, apparently, and we are going to find this out now next week. And also this thing with the Saudi royal family, the whole thing about the only airplane that was flying in the skies of the United States on September 12th, the only airplane was a chartered 747 that was visiting various major American cities and picking up members of the bin Laden family who had business ties to George Bush Sr. and flying them to Saudi Arabia. And this is not some weird conspiracy nut stuff. I mean, this is, you know, New York Times. This is a matter of public record. But, you know, how quickly we forget. This is something that's just been completely glossed over. So stay tuned for this. It looks like, Phil Graham has said the administration is using national security to block embarrassment. See, apparently this report was done a few weeks ago, and then, in fact, it was completed in December, according to this Miami Herald story. The final report was completed in December. Since then, a working group of Bush administration intelligence officials has scrubbed the report, scrubbed in quotes, objecting to additional public disclosures. So they're trying to sanitize this thing as much as they possibly can to avoid what? Embarrassment? Complicity? The fact that they screwed up. I mean, is this another let's not embarrass ourselves, or is this evidence of some sort of major problem that this administration had, perhaps their relationship with the Saudi royal family and the Bush Sr.'s Carlyle Group connections, or is it just, you know, is it the kind of thing that it's an embarrassing coincidence? Or is it the kind of thing where there was actually some advanced knowledge that should have been, something should have been done, and it wasn't done? You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to tell you about InPhone. I hate asking people for directions. It's embarrassing. So instead, I call InPhone. And the nice operator at InPhone gives me driving directions, phone numbers, movie times, or restaurant reservations. So cling to your independence like I do. Call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Jesse sent you. Call now. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. but first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Bodette, and we'll leave the light on for you. And Accor Hotel.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate, I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor? Right. It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Your truth machine here. Polish. I started saying that because I have in front of me the Moscow Times. Now, Pravda actually did a story about me last year, but it was about some work that I was doing in Kaliningrad with a program there. It's a whole other topic for some other time. But the Moscow Times, I don't know how credible it is, but interesting story here. Polish Foreign Minister Władimir Szymczewski has said, quote, "We have never hidden our desire for Polish oil companies to finally have access to sources of commodities," coming out right out and saying that the reason why Poland has supported the United States in Iraq is they want the oil, nothing else. Nothing else. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. 1-800-825-5937. And Brian's on the line from Santa Fe. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. It's really good to talk to you and to hear what's coming out now. two years ago, it'll be in a couple months, when those planes hit the World Trade Centers, and I realized that no fighters had been sent up from any of the adjacent air bases to tail these jetliners, I thought something smelled fishy back then. And, you know, I've read Gore Vidal, and I've listened to you, and I've listened to others, and, you know, this thing stinks, and it stinks real, real deep.
And, it's going to be real interesting to see what they say about this next week in their, quote, official report. I mean,
that's exciting, especially the ties to the Saudi family and what the administration knew prior. But also, you know, talking about the whole thing of lying about weapons of mass destruction, of course, that was purely a distraction, not destruction for us. It was distracting us from what was going to come out. But I still believe that Bush did not lie, because I believe Bush had no idea what he was doing. I think he's a mouthpiece. He was told go out there and say these things. And I mean, his only defense is going to be, you know, I didn't understand. I don't understand what goes on in the world. And
in the half minute or so that we've got left here, Brian, in this hour, do you think that that's a legitimate defense?
Oh, absolutely not. I think if one deigns to take on the cloak and the mantle of the presidency, there's a responsibility at least to say to your handlers, don't let me look stupid, you know, don't let me shoot myself in the foot. I mean, I assume the president is that intelligent.
Yeah, I'm with you. Brian, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Radio Network News, I'm Monica DeSantis. President Bush is refuting reports that the White House ignored CIA warnings about an allegation against Iraq made during his last State of the Union address. In the speech, Bush said Iraq had tried to buy uranium for its nuclear weapons program from Niger. The White House now admits the claim was based on faulty intelligence, but that the CIA had cleared the speech before the address. Meanwhile, President Bush has pledged to support Uganda in its fight against AIDS.
And this is my country's pledge to the people of Africa and the people of Uganda. You are not alone in this fight. America has decided to act. Over the next 5 years, my country will spend $15 billion to fight AIDS around the world.
Nearly 30 million people living with AIDS on the continent, including 3 million children under the age of 15. Only 1% of the 4 million people needing immediate drug treatment are receiving it. A man labeled as a suspect in the murders of five family members is returning to Bakersfield, California, where the crimes were committed. Vincent Brothers' lawyer says the school administrator would return home later today as a grieving father, husband, and son-in-law. Brothers turned himself in to police in North Carolina, but was released because there was not enough evidence to hold him. U.S. Senator Jay Rockefeller, back from a trip to Iraq, says besides keeping the peace, U.S. soldiers are doing some good things that are not being reported by the media. Rockefeller, a Democrat from West West Virginia says that many men and women are helping to rebuild schools and cleaning up hospitals after they finish their daily military duties. Tropical storm Claudette continues to make a beeline for Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. The storm center is said to be poorly defined with sustained winds of 55 miles an hour. Claudette has now entered the Gulf of Mexico and is expected to cross the Yucatan over the weekend. Forecasters say Claudette could gain new strength from the ultra-warm waters of the Gulf and eventually become a problem for the Texas coast.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it! Yeah. 4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if a girl in the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Two deputies in Hillsborough County, Florida, were hospitalized after they ate McDonald's cheeseburgers filled with pieces of glass. Sheriff Carl Henderson says his detectives have ruled out the possibility that the incident was accidental. One of the deputies began bleeding from the mouth and choking so badly he had to be airlifted to a hospital. He's now in stable condition. Some parents in Washington State are angry that a federal judge has pulled the plug on a law that would have kept children under 17 from buying violent video games. Other moms and dads applaud the decision, however, saying the government has no business regulating the video game industry.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because Napa Premium Motor Oil is just 99 cents a quart, and Valvoline Max Life Oil for high mileage engines is just $1.99 a quart. This is the good stuff. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is one of the best things you can do for your car. So stock up on Napa Premium Motor Oil for 99 cents a quart and Valvoline Max Life Oil for just $1.99 a quart. Local prices may vary.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
The bodies of the Iranian conjoined twins who died during surgery to separate them are being flown home to be buried. While Iranians are mourning their deaths, a debate is underway in the country over whether the women should have undergone the procedure in the first place. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
The Bijani's surgery in Singapore was the first time surgeons had tried to separate adult siblings joined at the head. Before the operation, doctors had warned that either one or both of the sisters might die. Some Iranians say the surgery never should have happened. This woman from Tehran says many of the specialists had discussed this, and they themselves said at least one of them should survive. But now we are upset that both of them have died. This surgery was a mistake because they were grown up. The bodies of the twins have been taken to their home village in the south of Tehran. There are conflicting reports about when the burial will take place, but the twins' adoptive father says he's planning a memorial service on Saturday. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We've been talking about George Bush and the consequences of his line about weapons of mass destruction, about uranium from Africa, about the clear and present danger or threat that one nation represented against the United States and England and Europe and whatnot, that was so terrible that we had to kill 10,000 of their civilians, who knows how many of their military, disable and wound 1,000 of our own young men and women, and kill over 200 of our own in order to stop that threat. We've had a bit of a discussion about, we're going to see how this thing plays out. I want to move on from this and get into some economic issues. And this, really, this is the core where I want to move with this in just a minute. We've got two callers here who we're going to take on in just a second, just to wrap up this discussion about Bush. But then I want to get into this issue of what is the real conservative agenda here in the United States. What are these folks really up to? And I want to get into that. And then our third hour, we're going to be talking about Africa and some interesting things there. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you'd like to be on the Tom Hartman radio program. 1-800-825-5937. And Raymond in Cement City, Michigan, has been patiently waiting through the news. Thank you very much for hanging on, Raymond, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Good to be here this afternoon. I was listening to the conversation in the previous hour about it, well, using the lie word or not telling the truth. And I think it's pretty significant that what I've been seeing coming from General Wesley Clark is a need to hold leaders accountable. And he brings up this theme in some of the articles that have come out that he's that have been about him. And he talks about not only accountable, but accountable for outcomes. And I think that seems to be a theme that I think you're going to see picking up. And this is something he's been talking about, but you're going to see this picking up through this oncoming election cycle.
Yeah, I think so. And I think my guess is, frankly, having seen Wesley Clark a couple of times on, you know, being interviewed on TV and whatnot, is that he's running for vice president, not for president. And, you know, whether he'd make a good one or not, I don't know enough about him, but he certainly has been raising some of the tough questions that so far really only Kucinich and Dean, in my opinion, have been raising, although maybe I've been missing the other guys. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's what he says. Needs to be done is you need to be asking the tough questions, and
yeah, that's the job of
are really pushing for him to declare his candidacy for presidency, because we think he would be a great candidate and he'd be a great person to get up there and ask the tough questions of the administration and call him to account on these issues.
Yeah, somebody had called into the show a couple days ago and said that they had seen what's his name, Dean Clark for president vice. You know, bumper stickers are already out. Who knows? Raymond, thanks for the comment. I appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time to call in and for hanging out over the break there on that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. Brad in Pacifica, California, welcome aboard. What's up, Brad?
Hi. I wanted to thank you for bringing up the 9/11 issue, and wanted to revisit that real quickly.
Okay, go for it.
Well, I think that what should be mentioned any time that it's talked about is essentially what seems to be a Air Force stand down that day. I mean, if you take a look at Flight 77, the one that crashed into the Pentagon, it flew from when it turned back towards the East Coast. It was at the Ohio West Virginia border, and there just doesn't seem like there's any way that you know, our air defenses could fail to at least intercept it, which doesn't necessarily mean shoot it down, but just be there.
Yeah, and that's something that has not been missed by the many websites and investigators into this issue. I mean, there's a whole conspiracy industry that has grown up around, of course, 9/11, as you would expect. But this is one of this issue that you raise, that and the spiriting the Saudis out of the country before they'd even been investigated or questioned by the FBI, by the Bush administration. Those are the two things that seem to be the persistent and perhaps embarrassing questions. It's going to be really interesting to see if they're going to be dealt with by this so-called official investigation that's going to be published next week.
I think that the one that's being published currently is just covering intelligence failures.
Right.
That's
the strategy.
Failure is the wrong word, but...
Yeah, now that's the strategy that they used so successfully with Iran-Contra. I mean, when Iran-Contra first broke, the story that was going around, and that Barbara Honegger, who worked in the White House and wrote a book about this, that almost immediately the publishing company went out of business and vanished, a book called October Surprise. You can still find it on some of the websites that sell used books. Barbara Honegger, who was in the White House, said that during the election, when Carter was running against Reagan, Carter was way ahead in the polls. Reagan was way behind. Everybody thought he was, you know, too radical for America, blah, 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 blah. And when the hostages got taken by the Iranian students, according to Honegger, George Bush flew over to Paris, over to France, and cut a deal with representatives of the Ayatollah that, because they needed weapons for their battle with Iran or with Iraq, that we would supply them with missiles and spare parts if they would hang on to those hostages until the elections. And in fact, they released the hostages the hour to the minute that Ronald Reagan was sworn into office. And that was the original focus of the Iran-Contra investigation, was whether George Bush Sr. had committed treason by cutting this deal with a foreign power to throw an election, doing an October surprise here. And they were successful, the Republicans were successful in Congress in limiting the congressional investigation. Remember Ollie North up there swearing and all this sort of thing, and his ultimately being convicted of a felony and then it being being unconvicted or whatever, set aside. And Poindexter and all of them, that they got it successfully passed that the investigation would not look at anything that happened prior to the election. In other words, it could not include an investigation of Bush's behavior with the Ayatollah. And it looks to me like they're probably going to do the same thing with 9/11. Is that what you're saying here, Brad?
Essentially, yeah. And it's interesting that you bring up past felonies. In that a lot of people who, you know, aren't familiar with the details of 9/11 dismiss it as you know, anything other than the official story as being a conspiracy theory. The reason I bring that up is that there's, you know, quite a history of this sort of thing. Gulf of Tonkin, Pearl Harbor even, there's plenty of evidence that... You know, we knew that the Japanese were coming and just kind of let them.
Yeah, here's an interesting story. We actually interviewed Dean Rusk before he died and about the Pearl Harbor thing. And he and his assistant were responsible for the intelligence coming from the Pacific tracking the Japanese fleet. And they had lost track of, I forget whether it was the northern or southern half, but the fleet split, and they had lost track of half of the fleet, and they had thought that they had gone down toward the Indian Ocean, where we had this blockade cut off the oil to Japan, which was a pretty clear provocation. And Rusk said that he had lost track of that, and for a couple of days he was basically telling Roosevelt that they were pretty sure they knew where it was and not to worry. And then his assistant brought in a teletype report that Pearl Harbor had just been bombed, and both of them realized that they had just participated in one of the biggest intelligence screw-ups in history. And he and his assistant put all the papers that they had assembled over the last 3 days on this thing in a metal wastebasket and burned it right there in his office. And his assistant was Ensign John F. Kennedy. So that's an interesting story. I mean, but that's kind of an aside. I think that there are some really interesting stories in history here. Brad, I thanks for the call. I appreciate this. And there's a book I'm reading right now, actually, that if I had it right here, I'd pull out a couple of interesting things I came across yesterday called Why the Senate Slept, about the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, how we got into that. And basically, LBJ got into the Gulf of Tonkin because he was largely convinced that Castro was behind the assassination of Kennedy. He didn't want to take on Castro. He didn't want to take on Cuba, partly because he didn't want to be the victim of the next assassination, and partly because he didn't want to create another Cuban Missile Crisis. He didn't want to take on the Soviet Union. But he had to take a stand against communism because Barry Goldwater was beating him up so badly. And so it's really interesting to read the words of all these senators right after the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was passed. It's very clear that none of them thought that they were opening up a wide declaration of war, and that LBJ himself really was not of that opinion, at least according to the record that's here. But that's certainly not how it played out. And I think we have a similar situation here, where a lot of these people who voted to give Bush War Powers Acts in effect with regard to Iraq back in September of 2002 thought that they were going to get this issue off the table, so that in October and November, the election could be decided on issues like Bush's actual record with regard to human rights and labor rights and whether he'd kept his campaign promises and all these other things. And instead, they had just signed a blank check for him, and he succeeded in turning the whole election into a debate about whether or not people were patriotic. And Iraq and the whole protests against Iraq, the best thing that could have happened to George Bush because it deflected attention away from all those scandals that were coming up. Anyhow, I want to change the subject from this. If you want to continue to talk about this, feel free to call in. But I'd like to move the subject into another area here, because this is, you know, I think it was Tim in Hartford said, you know, well, we're preaching to the choir here. And Louise made a good point to me a few minutes ago. I think it's really important when we're talking amongst ourselves. And of course, there are people who are beyond the left or the radical middle or whatever you want to call it, who are listening to this program. We're on radio stations all over the country. But I think it's important that even if it's just preaching to the choir, that we have some shared information, some common understandings. And there's a way to refute the right-wing arguments that are being put out. And it's not just, here's how to win a debate. It's about what's true that is so important. And so what I want to get into after this next break in some detail is what I consider to be, frankly, the bottom line, really most important issue in America right now, and what so many of these things boil down to, what even the war in Iraq boils down to ultimately, which is it looks like at the surface economics, who has the money, but really underneath that is who has the power, and how do they use the mechanism of government to acquire and wield that power. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am
am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Well, it seems my friend and Mark Rasko have become regular political pen pals. Rasko is the former Enron lobbyist who now chairs the Republican National Committee. He recently sent a special questionnaire on national issues to my friend, saying that she had been carefully chosen to represent the opinions of all Republicans in her area. He asked that she respond promptly to the questions so he and other party leaders could know what grassroots Republicans in her area were thinking. He also asked that she send $500. She didn't do that, but she was pleased to do her duty and answer all of the questions, feeling quite privileged to represent local Republican thinking on America's crucial issues, especially since she's a Democrat. You might think that that would have been the end of that, but no. Rasko came right back with a second missive, enclosing an exclusive RNC gold card for her. The Charter Member Gold Card is awarded annually to recognize grassroots activists like you, wrote Rasko. Well, my friend thought it was mighty big of the GOP to honor even activists like her, who actively opposed the autocratic, plutocratic agenda of the whole Bush gang. She was especially touched by the chairman's personal appeal at the end. President Bush and I are hoping you will join us today, the letter said. That's very thoughtful of the president, she said to me, but really, shouldn't George have other things on his mind besides worrying whether I'll join him? Once again, Chairman Rasko asked that she send some money to the party, explaining that this would be a nice gesture and show that she appreciated being one of the select few Americans to achieve gold card status at the RNC. This is Jim Hightower saying, once again, however, she declined, thinking it would be a bit tacky to sully such an honor with cold cash. But, she says, she's never had a gold card, and she's looking forward to making a special trip to Neiman Marcus to buy something nice with it. And she sure hopes Mark keeps writing to her.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the iAmerica Radio Network. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and I realize I'm reaching back into the past here. We're going to come back into the present shortly, but he said it so well. The question that I'd like to bring up for this hour is, have the corporate feudalists, or has a new feudalism, a new form of feudalism, taken over the world? Feudalism is one of the three historic tyrannies identified by Jefferson and other founders, the other two being kings who ruled by perpetual warfare and theocrats who ruled by saying God told them to. And feudalism, rule by the rich, essentially. Have the feudalists taken over? And if so, how? And how is it that somebody on the folks on the right can say things like, the government plays no role in the private economy. The free market should decide things. Operating in the free market is the most efficient way to do things. Back in 1936, Franklin Roosevelt pointed out that there was a new royalty that had arisen in America. He called them the economic royalists. That they had risen up and that they were actually seeking to take the control of government itself. He was warning about the day that a day may come when you could even have, as inconceivable as it would have seemed back then after Herbert Hoover drove the country into the ground, that a CEO might even be president of the United States, somebody who didn't have any background in the law or understanding of the law and politics, but rather had a background in business, that is, a CEO could become president of the United States. And Roosevelt talked about well, let me just share a little clip with you from a speech that he gave in July of 1936, this month, 1936.
The royalists I have spoken of, the royalists of the economic order, have conceded that political freedom was the business of the government, but they have maintained that economic slavery was nobody's business.
They're saying they have the right to control that.
They granted that the government could protect the citizen in his right to vote, but they denied that the government could do anything to protect the citizen in his right to work and his right to live.
Now, this is a really important point. Roosevelt continues on this.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
I mean, that's it. Just right flat out, unambiguous, saying this is an attempt to overthrow the United States of America by feudal forces. Now, the folks on the other side, they say, well, but it's not, no, this is about capitalism and free enterprise, and the government has no business involving itself in business. The government should be involved in other things. How do you respond to that? Let's get into that in some detail right after this break. This is a fascinating. This is the nub of the whole thing. This is the core. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fun qi la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fun qi la.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, out there on your own, sitting naked by the phone, would you touch me? Hey, you, with your ear against the wall, waiting for someone to call out, would you touch me?
Oh, there goes the world's weirdest bumper music again. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're going to have to nuke that thing out of the rotation. We're talking about Franklin Roosevelt. We're actually talking about what is the nature of democracy, business, economic freedom. Has a new feudalism taken over the world? Have the corporate feudalists taken over the world? When Roosevelt pointed out that business could not exist without government subsidy, and the folks on the right said, "Whoa, wait a minute! How can you say that? We don't take any government subsidy." I mean, setting aside the $160 billion a year in outright grants and gifts that are given to corporations by the United States government and corporate welfare, let's just pretend even that doesn't exist. That corporate welfare doesn't represent more than 10 times the amount of welfare given to human beings. Let's just pretend that that's not real, although it is. But let's just set that aside. And let's set aside the corporate tax breaks and just say, you know, corporations were operating in the same environment as people. And corporations say, well, you know, then we should have a free market, free enterprise, free. Ask them a couple of simple questions. How could you run your business if there was no judicial system? How could you run your business if one of your competitors did something wrong or illegal and you did not have the right to sue them? Who pays for that judicial system? Where does that courtroom come from? Who pays the salary of the judges? How could you own property if you couldn't file land records with your county and state offices? How could you even exist as a corporation if the state didn't authorize your existence? What about the fact that if a person, we're hearing much about bankruptcy reform now, the fluff piece done on this the other day on CNN on that right-winger show, what's it, Lou Dobbs, where they were interviewing one of the Republican senators who says he's helping with bankruptcy reform to stop people from gaming the system. Yes, more than a million people declared bankruptcy last year. More people today, more individuals, are declaring bankruptcy on a per capita basis than during the Great Depression. And, yeah, probably some of them are not doing so appropriately. But when you look at the statistics, you discover that more than half of all Americans who declare bankruptcy do so because of a medical disaster. A medical disaster has wiped out their funds. More than half. And yet, and so a person, if they go into debt beyond their means, say you have $20,000 in the bank, and you go into debt to the tune of $500,000 to a hospital because you had some terrible disease, you can't just say, well, sorry, I only owe the $20,000. That's the limit of my liability. But if you start a corporation with $20,000 and you run up a $500,000 debt, the corporation can just close down, declare bankruptcy, walk away, and your limit, the limit of your liability, is just that $20,000. That's why they're called limited liability corporations. So how could a corporation do business without limited liability? Well, they could still do it, of course, but it wouldn't be quite so easy. So we have a system that has been created for the benefit of people who do business. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Business has built America in many ways. But it's something that we need to be honest about and acknowledge. When right-wingers say, let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Well, I'm sorry, they don't know how to file incorporation papers with the Secretary of State. The next time some right-winger says, we need to get government out of business, government has no right to private, say, well, okay, we shouldn't have a banking system? Who is paying for the Fed? You and me. We shouldn't have a Treasury Department that regulates our currency? How is it that a company in the United States can do business with a company overseas and know that when they send money, it actually arrives? It's done by a governmental system that's paid for with our tax dollars. If this isn't government support of business, what is it? We provide negotiable instruments. We provide currency, checks, systems, a stable currency. Property and contract law. It's a great list. And Conceptual Guerrilla, conceptualguerrilla.com. One of the best websites on these kinds of topics. And this little list that I just shared with you came from one of their pages. And they just lay this out so well. And Roosevelt talked about this. I mean, this is stuff that back 50 years ago, 60 years ago, was not a secret. 100 years ago wasn't a secret. In fact, the big debate during the populist movement back in the 1880s and 1890s, in particular, the 1870s and 1880s, because of the currency crises that were created after the Civil War, was whether the United States should go on a gold standard. To what extent, in other words, should the government insert itself into the regulation of currency? So Roosevelt comes along and he says, listen, if government is going to do all these things for business, we're going to support them in all these ways, then we should do something to support the working people as well. The people who make business possible. We should make sure that there is a minimum wage. We should have Social Security. We should provide a social safety net. I don't think anybody then, and I don't think anybody now, for that matter, is suggesting that a system should be created where people can simply live on the dole forever. I know of no rational person who's in favor of that. I know of no liberal who's in favor of that. It just ultimately doesn't make sense. It's destructive to people. But a social safety net, a health care system that works and that is easily affordable. When Roosevelt proposed these things throughout the early 30s, The Republicans attacked him mercilessly. Father Coughlin got on the radio and was just screaming about this stuff and saying that Roosevelt was a communist and a traitor. I'm not sure if they use the word treason, like Ann Coulter is now, to describe people who say the things like I'm saying right now. But here's how Roosevelt responded to them.
In vain, they seek to hide behind the flag and the Constitution. But in their blindness, they forget what the flag and the Constitution stand for.
This is so important. It's not just rule by the rich. It is for all.
Now, as always, for over a century and a half, the flag, the Constitution, stand against a dictatorship by mob rule and the overprivileged alike.
Both.
And the flag and the Constitution stand for democracy, not tyranny, for freedom, not subjection.
And that's the bottom line. And that's the bottom line that those on the right who talk about repeatedly, over and over and over again, about, oh, economic freedom means get government out of our business. Okay, what? You want to shut down the judicial system? Get rid of the corporate laws? Take care of the patent office? No. They really don't want government out of their business. They just want government not helping the individual workers, because if workers aren't terrified, they won't work for cheap, cheap, cheap. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tony in Waukegan, Illinois is on the line. Tony, thank you for waiting. How are you today? Tony, I missed that.
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Great. Welcome to the program. What's up?
Listen, I got a question for you, because, you know, we're talking about spending and we're talking about all of these issues. I have a really good conservative friend. I swear to God, he is my friend, but I want to kill him 90% of the time. And we had this discussion on the federal budget, and I thought, you know, you're probably one of the few hosts I can talk to who will actually be able to give me a reasonable number on this.
Okay.
The thought was, how much does the U.S. government spend on social programs? What percentage of the budget is spent on social programs versus defense?
That's a great question.
Any idea? He insists to me that the social spending programs are, you know, now when I talk about social spending, I'm not talking about Social Security, I'm not talking about, you know, stuff like that. I'm talking about things like Medicaid. I'm talking about things like food stamps. I'm talking about welfare. I'm talking about Department of Education. You know, those things that really actually help people.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the Department of Defense. Do you have
right,
any
and,
ideas?
And Social Security arguably is an insurance program because you pay into it and then you get your own money back out again after the fact. So
ideally, yes.
Yeah, in an ideal universe. Although George is spending that as quickly as he can right now. But Tony, it's a great question, and I don't at my fingertips have the answer to it. But I will get it for you first thing next week. If you listen to the show on Monday or Tuesday, I'll have that information. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom published a marvelous piece on this, which I had a couple of weeks ago, and I've lost it around the house here someplace. I'll have to track it down again, where they compared the defense budget with all federal expenditures for education, for housing, for, you know, and it was just incredibly lopsided. But I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers right off the tip of my the top of my head, tip of my tongue, whatever.
Okay.
But I'll get those for you.
I have only one other question for you, and then I'll get off your phone. Okay.
Sure.
That's another thing about the budget. Have you done a show? I'm sorry, I haven't been able to listen the last couple of weeks. I've been involved in grad school. I may have missed this point, but have you done a show recently on the effects that the deficit is going to have on the economy overall and how it's going to hurt the average man?
Well, we've talked briefly about it. It's an important point, and it gets into this whole issue. I mean, here are these conservative, essentially, I'd say, lies. Or myths, let's call them. Let's be charitable. One is that deficits don't matter, and the other is that tax cuts are actually tax cuts. And you juxtapose these things. Clinton, for example, Bill Clinton raised taxes, and the Republicans love to say, Clinton raised taxes, the biggest tax increase in history.
Yeah, well, that actually, was back in '93.
Yeah, actually, all Clinton was doing was paying for the taxes that Reagan deferred. So when Reagan cut taxes, because he cut taxes and increased the deficit, he didn't actually cut taxes. Taxes remained the same. In other words, government was still paying for services it was paying for. What Reagan did was he put them on a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton came along and said, okay, we're going to pay off some of this credit card. So Reagan didn't cut taxes. He simply deferred them. And Clinton didn't raise taxes. He simply paid off some of Reagan's taxes. And, very straightforward process. So that there's that as the beginning point. Whenever you hear people talk about tax cuts, well, these are not tax cuts. These are tax deferrals. We now have the $6 trillion debt and this $300-400 billion annual deficit.
Bush, I've heard Bush say many times, about the back when we actually were looking at projected surpluses, it's your money. Remember he would say that all the time? You deserve your money back?
Yeah, that's their favorite phrase.
I wish some Democrat would have got on TV and said, America, this is the national debt. This is your debt.
Yeah.
And we need to pay our debt.
Yeah, we actually, I did a couple of shows on this back during the big tax cut debate, and my answer to that, when people say, well, it's your money, is we live in a society where we have a social contract with each other. It's called civilization. It's called a democracy in a constitutionally limited republic. And our social contract with each other is that there are certain things that we all agree in common, that we agree through our elected representatives, through our constitution, through consensus, that we want to have. We want to have police departments that work. We want to have fire departments that work. We want to have an air traffic control system that we can rely on. We want to have rail transportation that's efficient. We want to have roads that are paved. We want to have there's all this infrastructure stuff. We want to have security and safety. We want to have an educational system that works. We are agreeing by living in the United States of America one more day, every single day we live in this country and declare our citizenship, we are agreeing that we are going to pay our fair share of those things, which means that we are saying, by virtue of maintaining our citizenship, that some of our income actually is not my, some of my income is actually not my money. It's the money that I've agreed to pay to this society in exchange for the blessings that I take back from this society. Every time I drive on a road, I'm paying for that road in some way, and I've agreed in advance to do it. And so when these guys say, it's your money, you ought to be able to keep it, it's simply not true. If we were in a situation where we weren't in deficit spending, and where government was paying its bills and paying its way, and then we were sitting down and saying, okay, shall we or shall we not have a laser defense system, weapons in outer space, or shall we not expand Medicare, or whatever. I mean, you pick an issue. Then we could rationally say, okay, how much of our money do we want to spend on this? Because I agree, on the one hand, with the conservatives that we have to be very careful about these. Tax dollars are taken ultimately at the point of the barrel of a gun, whereas other kinds of funds are not. And so you have to be thoughtful about it. But on the other hand, we agree in our society that these are things that we all are going to use, and therefore, we have an obligation to pay for them. Good point, Tony. Yeah, thanks for calling on that, and I appreciate you raising the question. I'll get those stats for you next week. Billy in Santa Cruz will pick up your call right after the break in just a minute here, about another 20 seconds or so. The music is going to start, and we're gonna move on. But I just want to make this point. This is so important. There is no such thing as a free market. Markets exist because governments bring them into existence. Free market, a totally free market would be absolute anarchy, and nothing would function in it. At least nothing over the long term. It would be the old warlord system. We don't have a free market. We have a government regulated market that is supported by us. And I think that's how it should be. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
To create
need a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts. Because Napa Premium Motor Oil is just 99 cents a quart. And Valvoline Max Life Oil for high mileage engines is just $1.99 a quart. This is the good stuff. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is one of the best things you can do for your car. So stock up on Napa Premium Motor Oil for 99 cents a quart. And Valvoline Max Life Oil for just $1.99 a quart. Local prices may vary.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, funny twist.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I'll take you there.
And welcome back. back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Richard in Santa Fe has called in with figures on spending. I'm popping you right ahead of Billy in Santa Cruz here, Richard, because you're answering a question the earlier caller did, and I know that Billy will hang on for a minute. I'm hoping he will. Richard, what are the numbers?
Well, Tom, there's a pie chart that's prepared every year by the War Resisters League showing where our tax dollars go. And if you take away Social Security and Medicare and other entitlements, which are things we pay separate taxes for, current and past military expenditures are 47% of the budget. And those include the all the military operating expenses, weapons development programs, et cetera. And then they also include, in the past, military expenses, veterans benefits, and what they figure is the portion of the national debt which was created by military spending. So that's 47% of the budget. Human resources, which includes education, health and human services, HUD, food and nutrition programs, the Labor Department, Social Security Administration costs, is 34%. So the military is the largest portion of the federal budget, leaving
Great.
Out Social Security.
And Richard, is there a website where people can find that?
Yeah, it's www.warresisters, that's two R's, warresisters.org, and then /piechart.htm.
Great. Richard, thank you very much. I thank you very much for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. Billy in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
And wasn't that great of Richard to call and share that those stats with us?
Absolutely. It's always good to have data. I have no data, but let's see if you agree with me. First of all, the reason I'm calling is God told me he wanted me to call.
Oh, no.
How does that make you feel about me and what I just said?
I know where you're going with this, and I think
exactly.
He's nuts, too.
And I'll get back there in a second, but let me just say this first of all. By the way, whoever's doing the promos for the shows are doing a great job. They're very funny, very good.
Yeah, the ones for Mike's show are great. I really like them.
And the animal show, too.
Yeah.
So
we've got to get some for this show. I got to get to work on that.
Yeah. So, Tom, you know...
Hey, Billy.
When you're in a
Billy, I got Billy, let me interrupt you just a second here. I got bumper music coming up right now. It's the top of the show. Can you hang on? We'll bring you in out of the break.
I'll come in at the top of the hour.
Yeah, okay. I'll bring you back at 5 minutes after, right after the news. Hang on
buddy.
Billy. And then after that, we've got a guest on. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. President Bush says the CIA cleared his speech, which included a claim that Iraq tried to obtain uranium from Niger. Steve Mort reports from Washington.
The uranium row has become a full-blown political firestorm in Washington.
Speaking in Uganda, President Bush himself weighed into the debate, saying his speech, which charged Iraq with seeking uranium from Africa, had been approved.
I gave a speech to the nation that was cleared by the intelligence services. And it was a speech that detailed to the American people the dangers posed by the Saddam Hussein regime.
The claim was based on British allegations Baghdad had tried to obtain so-called uranium yellow cake from Niger. U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell says it was decided to scrub the allegation from his address to the U.N. just a week later. Steve Mort, Washington.
Meanwhile, Democrats are increasing the volume in the growing flap over pre-war claims about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, a Democratic presidential candidate, told ABC's Good Morning America that a serious credibility issue is involved.
I think we need a full-scale investigation, which I've been calling for about 3 weeks, bipartisan investigation outside the Congress, which is clearly the Republican majority is stonewalling for, these kinds of investigations. We need to find out what the president knew and when he knew it.
Accused serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph is set to make another court appearance in Birmingham, Alabama. Today's hearing is on a revised indictment with new wording that could allow federal prosecutors to ask for the death penalty if Rudolph is convicted in the deadly bombing of an abortion clinic. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 93 points, the Nasdaq up 18, and the S&P up 9 points.
You know, MTV changed the way people look at television. Well, I helped change the way they look at MTV. I'm Lauren Lazen, Vice President of MTV News and Specials. I'm responsible for those documentaries on racism and drugs, sexual abuse and AIDS. You know, the ones that make some people uncomfortable, but make everybody think. I'm not uncomfortable speaking up for my ideas. Never have been. Even in school, where it wasn't always cool for a girl to be smart, my parents expected great things from me, so I did too. If you have a daughter, encourage her to stand up and be heard in school. Let her know it's cool to be smart, even in front of boys. Tell her to go for it, and then let her. Expect the best from a girl. That's what you'll get.
Help your daughter speak up for her ideas in school. Call 1-800-WCC-4GIRLS. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the Women's College Coalition.
Members of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board are expected to shed more light on dramatic tests that may prove how the space shuttle was lost during reentry. In today's meeting, members may also explain why the release of their final report is being pushed back until the end of August. It seems American students are becoming better writers, but a new study shows there's still room for improvement. The National Assessment of Education Progress of 2002 shows writing skills among 4th and 8th graders have moderately improved since the test was last given in 1998. However, less than a third of these students achieved levels of proficient or above.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The Secret Service is investigating emails written by students of a Northern California junior college political science class. Kim McAllister has the story.
Professor Michael Ballew asked his Santa Rosa Junior College students to write an email that said simply, "Kill the President." He said he wanted students to think about what could happen if they sent the email, but nobody was supposed to receive it, and no president was named. Professor Ballew calls the Secret Service investigation the result of a growing police state. College administrators say the assignment did show poor judgment, but they haven't decided if disciplinary action will be taken. In Santa Rosa, I'm Kim McAllister.
You may be advertising pornographic websites without your knowledge. The New York Times reports that computer hackers have found a way to hijack PCs and secretly load them with software that sends ads for the sex sites. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the Single Driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer, director.
When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the single driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program, where democracy is still alive and well, and we hope for that to continue in this country. Some remnant of it, some semblance of it. And we're finishing up a conversation here with Billy in Santa Cruz, California. He had called just before, just as we were going into a break there. So, and then after Billy, we have a guest, and we're going to get into George Bush in Africa and oil and diamonds and all sorts of interesting stuff. So, Billy, you're on the line. Welcome back.
Thank you. So, let's start with this, the economic realities. And I'll pose it as if I was the press. And in this way. In other words, I'd like someone to ask Mr. Bush something like this. Mr. Bush, you always talk about us giving, you're giving us back our own money. Well, if we're in deficit, aren't you really giving us back other people's children's money?
That's right.
But media hasn't asked that question to him, have they?
No, they haven't, because I think, number one, a lot of the people in the media don't understand basic economics. I mean, they're just it's mind-boggling how few people understand.
Hey, you know what? I don't believe that answer.
And number two, you've got the media who are terrified of him. Right after the election, CNN sent a vice president to Washington, D.C. to meet with the Bush administration to say that they would stop showing his gaffes and his verbal screw-ups on CNN and start portraying him in a good light. If in exchange for that, John King and their reporters could have better access to the White House.
So what you're saying is government is for sale and the first buyer was the media?
I wouldn't say it that way, but I wouldn't disagree with that.
Let me just give you two other instances and then I'll go.
Sure.
So the other thing is, did you hear the story that I got off of the Internet from the Israeli newspaper, and actually I got it from an Arab newspaper, that when Bush was visiting Sharon and Abbas, he said that God told him to come to Iraq and to get al-Qaeda?
Yeah, I've seen that quoted in a couple of different places, although I've not seen anything that Louise says it was also in the Moscow newspaper, but I haven't seen it in any source that where I could say, yeah, you know, it's for sure that he said that. I would think that by now, if Sharon is the one who is cited as having said this, and I can't imagine that our Ariel Sharon would have said that, even if it was true. That,
right,
you know,
but, you know, Tom, we can't, the fact that, see, this is a circular argument, the fact that, like, look what you just did, and you know better. You said, well, gee, you know, the big media hasn't picked it up, so therefore, is it really true? And yet a minute ago, we were just discussing how we can't expect the big media to do anything for us anymore.
Well, no, actually, what I was saying, yeah, okay, to some extent, I was saying I haven't seen it in any credible media, but
well,
the large, and that doesn't mean that it's not true.
Yeah.
The larger point that I was making is that according to the small media, or the media that said that, they said that Ariel Sharon said that. And I have a hard time believing that a savvy politician who is an ally of George Bush's would repeat something that Bush said like that. I mean, even if it's true, I don't think that Sharon would have said that. And that's why I doubt the veracity of those comments.
And two other questions I want to know why the media hasn't asked Bush. And one of them is, for example, a question that goes like this. Mr. Bush, if it turns out you lied about the weapons of mass destruction, should you be impeached, and what should the punishment be if not impeachment?
I've asked a couple of conservatives that question on this show. You've probably heard, and they just start, you know, changing the subject as fast as they can.
Don't they really? And the other thing, of course, is that shouldn't to go back to this God thing. I mean, shouldn't Bush be removed because his mind is clearly impaired?
Well, I'm not sure that mental impairment is the basis for impeachment. I think high crimes and misdemeanors are the only criteria that are defined in the Constitution.
Right, but it's a high crime if you start listening to voices in your head instead of the American people. That's treason.
It's certainly pretty strange, and I think that we do have a means for removal. It's called the electoral process, and that's why I'm so strongly encouraging people, and I know you are too, to get out and get active in their political process, in the political process, however it is, wherever it is in the United States. You know,
the real truth is that I don't agree with that argument, and what I would tell people is it's time for people to realize that with things like reapportionment and them growing the districts, that voting doesn't matter anymore. It hasn't been a fair game for a very long time. And without radical, not evolutionary, but revolutionary change in this country, it's a rigged game and we're losing it.
Yeah, well, I'm taking a little more middle view there, Billy, thank you for that comment. I appreciate it, and I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I know that there are a lot of people who feel the same way. I think, though, that even Al Gore would not have done the things that George Bush has done. And if we want to move in a direction towards something like proportional representation or instant runoff voting, things that will make the United States more democratic, and if we want to say that even a corrupted, dysfunctional political system, we can still, if we absolutely fail to participate in it and walk away from it, I think we've got a big problem. Although, you know, some folks say that they are voting by not voting. Anyhow, I wanted to talk about Africa. George Bush is in Africa right now. Some just remarkable stuff here. His AIDS initiative, it turns out, might actually be a welfare program for the largest pharmaceutical corporations in the United States. There's enormous amounts of oil in West Africa. We have Nelson Mandela is talking about this today. He said, to see young political leaders of the developed world act in ways that undermine some of the noblest attempts of humanity to deal with historical legacies pains me greatly and makes me worry immensely about our future. One of the world's elder statesmen, Mr. Mandela. And so we have on the line Joki Yahu, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. She's the director of the 50 Years is Enough, U.S. Network for Global Economic Justice, a coalition of over 200 women's, environmental, faith-based, youth development, grassroots, policy, labor, social, and economic justice organizations dedicated to the profound transformation of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Boy, you're really getting into the belly of the beast there, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We do try to especially educate and mobilize people in the U.S. to understand what's going on at these institutions, especially that the U.S. succeeding U.S. administrations do in the name of taxpayers in the U.S., especially.
Yes. Yes, and what is there was an article here that the African nations are spending $12 billion, an annual net drain of $12 billion out of the sub-Saharan African region. That is, they're paying back to IMF and World Bank and institutions guaranteed by them. They're paying back loans $12 billion in excess of all their income. That is, there's a net drain from the poor South to the rich North.
Yeah.
How did that happen? What brought this about?
Well, it's part of the international debt game where when you listened over the years to someone like Jesse Helms talk in the Senate, you had this impression that there was a lot of money being wasted being sent to Africa. But in fact, what has been happening now for a couple of decades is that more resources are flowing out of Africa and other parts of the global south, for that matter, than are flowing in with aid, grants, and investment combined. Africa is sending more money than Africa is receiving to service a debt. These are the debts of the dictators that are succeeding, administrations, especially during the Cold War, supported, that these institutions supported in Nigeria. They supported military dictatorships in Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Mobutu was supported for many years. In South Africa, you talked about Nelson Mandela, the apartheid regimes. When Nelson Mandela came out of prison after almost 28 years, they said, yes, you are free, and in a few years you can head your country's government. You have struggled. Many people have died. Many people have gone without. But you know what? The debts that were accumulated by the apartheid regimes that they borrowed to buy weapons to keep you oppressed, you still have to pay for them. And so as you look at Bush going across the African continent and not saying anything about international debt, his administration has a position that the logic we believe should extend to Africa, at least to two of the countries that he's visiting, but of course a lot more, Nigeria and South Africa. In Iraq, they have said the people of Iraq should not be made to pay for the deaths of the brutal and oppressive dictator Saddam Hussein. That can be said very well about the regimes in Nigeria that accumulated billions of dollars in debt, much of it stolen, and the apartheid regimes in South Africa that used that money to oppress their people.
Excuse me. You said that the U.S. government has said that the Iraqi people shouldn't be held responsible for the debts of Saddam, but are you sure of that? I mean, my understanding was that they're saying that we're going to decide which of these debts are legitimate debts, and that part of that was really brinksmanship. That is, they were saying maybe the debts to France we're going to decide not to pay back as a way of punishment, or to Russia if they don't fall into line. But that really the United States government has not said that Iraq is not going to pay back those debts. They've said that they're going to defer them until the oil revenues are high enough to pay them back. Am I not correct, or have
I missed something? Well, that was the original. What you're describing was what was said in the first place, which was, you know, was an attempt to dumb their nose at Germany, Russia, and France for not joining the war effort. But since then, both the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, John Snow, and Assistant Secretary of Defense, Wolfowitz, have made statements. And as we speak, there's actually a bill making its way through Congress that is looking to declare Iraq's debt as illegitimate. And we think that logic should extend to the debts of the military dictatorships in, you know, Brazil, Argentina, Haiti, the Marcos regime. I mean, there are lots of places where it is clear that the money was not used to help people, that a lot of that money was stolen. And by the way, we know the banks where they are. Some of them are in New York, in London, in Zurich, and Frankfurt. We know where this money that was stolen has been stored. That is an argument that whose logic follows through. And we need to have Mr. Bush talking about, you know, not just the things that are really popular. You know, you've mentioned about how the HIV/AIDS initiative is really corporate warfare. It's going to be corporate warfare for U.S. pharmaceuticals. Those are the real issues that he needs to be talking about that will make a difference in the lives of Africans, and not, you know, just really nice words. Africans are saying, show us the money. We are struggling. We are putting all the effort that we can, but we need a little solidarity. We need a little bit of support. And he can actually provide that.
Right. Okay. We're speaking with, am I pronouncing this right, Yoki Yehu?
Yoki Yehu.
Yoki Yehu. Yeah. Thank you. And is there a website, by the way? It's 50years.org, isn't it?
Yeah, 50years.org. Or they can also call us at 202 IMF Bank, 202-463-2265.
Yeah, 202 IMF-BANK. If you can stay on the line, we've got a break coming up here, a commercial break, but I'd like to continue this conversation with you, because I'd like to talk, first of all, about what's going on with the HIV/AIDS initiative that Bush is talking about. Secondly, about oil and diamonds and wealth in Western Africa in particular. And third, I'd like to just close out this thing about the debt in Africa, and, you know, where does one draw the line? Or might we be opening a Pandora's box here?
Absolutely.
All around.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, great. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country.
AM Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I
know.
Was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month.
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We have grown, although our love is still special. Let's take a chance and fly away somewhere.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. I know time flies so quickly.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on the internet from radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com, archived at whiterosesociety.org and channel 145 on the Sirius Radio Satellite System. Available on Ford, Chrysler, and a whole bunch of other types of cars. We are speaking today with, or in this hour, with Jokey Jehu.
Jokey Jehu,
thank you, of who is the director of 50 Years is Enough, U.S. Network for Global Economic Justice. The website is www.50years.org. And could you tell us about the Bush AIDS initiative? One of the things that I've read recently that concerned me greatly is that the Bush administration is saying, on the one hand, to African nations, we're going to give you money to buy drugs to fight AIDS. And then, on the other hand, they're saying, however, number one, if you're going to do any kind of education with people, it has to be done through our faith-based groups, or you can't talk about contraception. And number two, if you're going to buy drugs, instead of buying the Indian manufactured, for example, from India or South Africa manufactured generic pharmaceuticals, which might cost $200 a year to treat somebody with HIV/AIDS, you have to buy drugs from American manufacturers, which might cost $10,000 or $20,000 a year, and therefore this is just a giant welfare package for the American corporations. Is that really the case?
Yes, it is. I mean, you laid it out exactly as it is. There's an ideology at work in terms of all these initiative and sort of goodwill gestures or would-be goodwill gestures that the Bush administration keeps talking about. So that it's not just about really doing what is right. It's not about being in solidarity with people who are suffering. It's about, you know, furthering corporate interest, you know, so that, you know, the initiative that Bush announced at the last State of the Union address in January, he last week named who is going to head it. It's the former CEO of Eli Lilly.
And, right, the former CEO of Eli Lilly.
Yeah, you can't, you know, you don't have to be a genius to see where that leads. And it does, you know, and part of why it is a freestanding initiative versus going through the Global Fund for HIV, AIDS, TB, and malaria is that then countries are required as part of that initiative. Countries are required to buy pharmaceuticals from U.S. companies.
This is outrageous. Why isn't this being more widely publicized in the U.S. press? We just have about a minute here before we have to go to a break, and then we'll have an opportunity to have a little longer discussion.
Yeah.
But why, in your opinion, is this not being more widely mentioned?
Because it's the mainstream media. You don't hear the real story. You don't hear the hard questions being asked about anything by the mainstream media. That's what the problem is, and that's why people need to seek alternative sources of information from non-governmental organizations, from progressive organizations that are really following these issues and issuing a very progressive and real analysis. You won't get it from from the people who go to the Rose Garden events where they sign bills or they make these announcements. Those people see it as a place where they can get benefits, and they're not going to ask tough questions.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately been that way for quite some time, and it's probably going to continue to be that way. This is a real problem, and it's absolutely startling. We're talking with Jyoti Jahu, whose website is www.50years.org. And if you can hang on, Jyoti Jahu, I'd like to continue this conversation. Right.
Unfortunately, I can't actually. I thought I was on until 2:30, and I have someone else holding on for another interview.
That's fine. Okay. Thank you very much for being on the program. Hi, thanks, I appreciate it. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. You're with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. The White House is trying to spin June's unemployment rate spike as a sign that more people are out looking for work, but a Department of Labor report released yesterday blows holes in that explanation. It notes that as of the end of June, 3.82 million Americans are currently collecting unemployment assistance. That's the highest number of people on unemployment since February 1983.
A move by the Bush administration to roll back the number of American workers entitled to overtime pay got a shot in the arm yesterday. House Republicans narrowly defeated an amendment that would have put a halt to the Labor Department's plans to alter job classifications as defined by the Fair Labor Standards Act. Organized labor groups calculated that a net 8 million Americans will lose their right to time and a half pay if the changes are adopted.
$7,000 is not a bad week's wages for working at Walmart. Sherry Beck was fired after just 1 week on the job as a cashier at a Walmart store in Orlando. The company said she was hostile, but Beck says she was fired after complaining about the constantly changing shift schedules. Firing someone for voicing simple concerns about workplace conditions is against the law. Beck sued, and Walmart settled the case this week for $7,000, which includes back pay with interest and attorney's fees.
For the first time ever, in-home caregivers in Oregon have a shot at a new labor contract. Some 13,000 caregivers with Service Employees International Union won a tentative deal last month following a landmark constitutional amendment, which in 2000 gave public employees the right to collective bargaining. If the workers approve the contract, they'll have access to workers' compensation and health care coverage for the first time, along with an immediate 40-cent per hour wage increase and other perks.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. South Africa's Mail and Guardian newspaper ran an op-ed yesterday, day before yesterday, that said, and I quote, "Like the world's oldest profession, the Republican administration of United States President George W. Bush has interests rather than principles." The editorial went on to say, quote, "It would be a mistake to take Bush's compassionate agenda seriously. His whistle-stop tour of five African countries must be seen for what it is, hard-eyed self-service posing as a mercy mission," end quote. And then the article goes on to say that Bush's main concerns are domestic security, quote, "domestic security, the advancement of corporate America, and the securing of strategic assets, mainly oil." I understand Jokey Jehu was able to come back and join us. Are you back in the line here with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you so much for coming back. I do appreciate it. I have here a report. I'd love to hear your comments on this. This came from the World Press Review, and it was published in Business Day, a Johannesburg, South Africa newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read a paragraph or so and then let you respond. "The West African oil rush is in full swing with consequences that will reach down to the southern end of the continent and beyond. The islands and states around the Gulf of Guinea in particular are attracting increased interest from global oil firms and Washington, which seeks to reduce U.S. dependence on Middle Eastern crude. The United States is the world's largest oil consumer. The rate of discovery of new oil reserves in Africa has been the fastest in the world in the past 5 years, according to the U.S. Corporate Council on Africa. Most of these newly proven reserves have been found around the Gulf of Guinea. West Africa, mainly Angola and Nigeria, now supplies about 15% of U.S. oil imports, and U.S. officials project African oil could account for 25% of United States crude imports by 2015. What? First of all, I'm assuming that that this is accurate to the best of your knowledge as well.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly,
there have been a number of reports about that, given what's going on in the Middle East, that the U.S. is looking for a different source of oil, and Africa looks like a really good place to go.
Yeah, and I spent a fair amount of time looking for any links between Liberia and oil, because all of a sudden George Bush is talking about Liberia, and I thought, well, if he's talking about Liberia, maybe there's oil there, and I couldn't find any. But what I did discover was that in many of the nations bordering Liberia, particularly the Ivory Coast just to its south, there have been these enormous discoveries just in the last 5 and 6 years,
yeah,
offshore and some inland, of huge oil fields, and as far as I can tell, there's been actually no exploration done in Liberia because of the civil strife that's been going on, and that
yes,
the oil companies are lining up right now.
That is correct. And one has to understand the nature of the countries on the West Coast and many African countries, that the borders are very porous and that there's a lot of people moving back and forth. And insecurity in any one of those countries creates insecurity, because there's weapons moving back and forth, there are refugees moving back and forth, and that, you know, part of what perpetuates a lot of these the civil strife is people, whether it's rebels or gangs that are fighting, or even mercenaries. You know, a lot of these wars are being fought by mercenaries who come from all over the world, not just from across the African continent. That they, when they feel the heat, they move over, they cross the border to another country. So it's of interest. It's related to have that region secure and to have the crisis in Liberia dealt with. But you're right about Liberia not having oil, and the, you know, feet dragging that you see coming from the Bush administration. If you look at the logic for the war on Iraq, there were three reasons: weapons of mass destruction, humanitarian crisis, and the third one was, it was weapons of mass destruction, it was a humanitarian crisis, and it was, the third one was a repressive and brutal dictator. Two of those things are true in Liberia: the humanitarian crisis and a brutal dictator. They're not talking about weapons of mass destruction, but, you know, they haven't found any in Iraq anyway. So they went to war in Iraq for two reasons. But the thing that Iraq had that Liberia doesn't have is the oil. So your analysis and the questioning that people are doing about this situation is right on the money. Bush's response was that they are conspiracy theories, and that the oil is the driving force for why the U.S. is paying attention to Africa, why he is going to Africa. He called it a conspiracy theory, but it is not a conspiracy theory. You can follow the money, and you can see where new military bases are being opened up. You can see where, you know, a blind eye is turned on. You know, in the case of Nigeria, there are all kinds of issues, you know, around riots, around human rights violations, around the question of whether the last election was free and fair. Things that are being used to chastise and beat, you know, be used to as sticks to beat back certain regions and certain countries on the African continent. But in the case of Nigeria, because of the oil, precisely, a blind eye gets turned to those problems in Nigeria.
Even when Ken, I'm missing his last name.
Ken Saro-Wiwa.
Saro-Wiwa was murdered by the government or executed. And Shell washing their hands, that whole thing. The last time I haven't been in Africa for about two decades. I was you're from Kenya.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I've been to Kenya three times, I think, two or three times. Anyway, a beautiful country. But the last time I was there was more than 20 years ago, and at the time Daniel Arap Moi was running the show, and the argument that a lot of the folks on the right put forth in response to these suggestions like you're making about debt relief is that these countries, various countries, and not just in Africa and South America and all around, have managed to run themselves into the ground, and therefore they should bootstrap themselves out. And those like Nigeria that are wealthy enough or fortunate enough to have oil wealth, they can use that to do it. That's their main point. How do you respond to that? What is a strong response to that kind of?
Well, I think that there are a couple of responses that I can give to that. One of which is that the fact of the matter is that we have won the argument on the need for debt cancellation. What is lacking is political will. There's a long list of countries, from Poland to Jordan to Egypt to Pakistan and other countries that have already received debt relief and debt cancellation. Countries where, you know,
By the IMF and the World Bank?
By the IMF and World Bank, because the U.S. has such great influence in those institutions. And from the U.S., it takes the G7, the will of the G7, and in particular the will of the United States for countries to get debt relief. So, you know, to give you a specific example, the day before the tragic events of September 11, Pakistan was a country, it was a pariah state. There were sanctions against it. September 11 happens, and Pakistan announces that they're going to join the war against terrorism. General Musharraf, you know, did not become a small-D Democrat overnight. Human rights violations didn't end there, and did not end at that point. But literally, Pakistan got ahead of the line of the countries that were in line, in the pipeline, for the World Bank IMF debt initiative, the HIPIC initiative, the heavily indebted poor country initiative. So the political argument is gone. We have won that argument. But what is lacking is the political will to be able to say the humanitarian crisis, the HIV/AIDS crisis, the struggles that people have been engaged in, yes, their governments may have been corrupt. Yes, their governments may be brutal, but this is very much about the needs of people across the continent, across the world, who are struggling and who are trying to actually pull themselves by their bootstraps. They would like to pull themselves by their bootstraps, but many of them don't have boots, and many of them don't have feet because the feet have been cut cut from under them by deregulation, by privatization, by dictatorships that were supported and funded by the same people who are pointing fingers now. So we have won the argument on this. The second thing to say is that at the end of the day, we have to say, what is the, what caused this debt? Not the institutions, not the World Bank or the IMF, not the United States government, not the G7. They are not innocent parties in this. They had a role in it. After they had sent someone, a Belgian executive director at the IMF, to Zaire, to Kinshasa, to find out what Mobutu was doing with the money, he came back, he said, all the money is being stolen, and these people, this country, will never be able to pay this money back. You would think that that would mean that Mobutu gets cut off, but the World Bank gave him another $500 million, the IMF equally, and the U.S. and other Western allies gave him another $1.3 billion, to the point where Mobutu would boast that if he wanted to, he could pay off the debt of Zaire. The last point of this is that the debt has been paid. There is a letter that any of your listeners, even you, if you want to see it, I'm happy to put it in the mail or to fax it to people, written by the president, the current president of Nigeria in 2000, where he said the debt is killing us. And what he said was, Nigeria in 1978 borrowed $5 billion. We have paid $16 billion. We still owe $31 billion. And I'm not confused.
It's the old loan shark trick. It's,
exactly. So this debt has been paid. So there are many, many good arguments as to why the debt needs to be cancelled. But for me, the main one is a human argument. Is it worth it? Is profit worth it? Is that the most driving and most important thing that we can have in the world, that we can turn a blind eye to 8,000 people who are dying every day from HIV/AIDS, to 30,000 children, according to the UN, who die from preventable and curable diseases, to 7,000 people who die every day from contaminated water, and the list is quite long. Is that something, as a human race, we are willing to say, we can live with that, that is okay, or is it something that prickles our conscience and says it is unjust, the debt has been paid, and it doesn't need to continue to strangle, to control and dominate people and countries around the world? That, for me, is the argument. I can't win the economic argument. I don't have a PhD in economics like many of the people who work at the World Bank and the IMF, but I'm a human being, and I can look, as I think we all can look, and see that the cost of continuing to service a debt that has been paid time and time again is too great on the sort of, you know, in your soul, what it does to your soul, what it does to your conscience.
Right. So you're suggesting we need to stop this international loan shark scheme.
Absolutely.
That's going on, basically. What do you think is the possibility of actually having this happen? I mean, how do you go about, or how do we go about the process of promoting that agenda of debt relief for those nations that are in many cases so poor that they don't even have a lobbyist in Washington, D.C.? I mean, their voices are not being heard.
That's what you and I and other people who care are about. That's where there are organizations and campaigns that have been, you know, have been pushing and raising this issue. By the end of 2000, over 21 million people around the world signed a petition calling for debt cancellation. And what we got was a very cynical response that maintains the economic model that says that still the path that countries have to tread on in order to get debt relief is the one of privatization and deregulation, the one that transfers public resources from public hands into private hands. It's the path that really puts countries on a path that means that not just now, but for decades to come, they don't have any control of their resources. They don't have any control of the policies that their governments follow.
Yeah. And in other words, these countries are being told that they have to give their resources, whether it's their water or their diamonds or their gold,
exactly,
or their timber or their people, in many cases,
exactly,
to transnational corporations,
yeah,
and to the control of these corporations. And in exchange for that, then they're offering to negotiate the debt.
Absolutely. And it's what you were talking about before, where, you know, countries don't, you know, there's an ideology, there's an economic path that is about very much about corporate warfare and corporate profit. So that no matter what people are trying to do, whether it's debt relief, you know, you talked about that, the Bush HIV initiative says that, you know, countries who benefit, one, have to buy pharmaceuticals from U.S. pharmaceuticals, and two, it's the faith-based initiative. There is an ideology, and it's not about whether this is the best way to go, that this is the best practice or the best model. It's an ideology that says this is what you must do, whether it works for you or not. This right. week, on Tuesday, the United Nations Development Program released their Human Development Report, and what they said is that 57 countries in the last decade, 57 countries have gone backwards instead of moving forward. We've heard a lot about how globalization is great and how free trade is great and how it's going to be the answer to all our problems. Well, life expectancy is falling around the world in 57 countries, most of them in Africa, but not exclusively. If this is the model, if this is the way to do development, to lift all of us, you know, we are told that, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. If this is the way to do it, how come 57 countries have actually fallen back instead of moving
forward? Sometimes a rising tide simply drowns people. Okay, so we're speaking here with Jokey Jehu of www.50years50years.org, and is her website, and a lot of good information there. Well, we just have a minute or so left in this segment. I appreciate your staying on with us for this longer discussion. What's in the UN? Are there allies for this among the more developed nations? Where are the pressure points? What can people do? Who should they contact? In a minute or so.
Yeah, this is a tragedy that it's a system that, you know, self-perpetuating system. I want to give you an example with the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, passed in 2000 by the United States Congress. And for many people who supported it, people like Charles Rangel in New York and Jim McDermott out in Seattle, who were very opposed to the process of the war in Iraq, they found that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they had tied their hands. With the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, it says that African countries that are going to benefit cannot take positions that are against the interests of the United States. In this case, Angola and Cameroon, who are, you know, in the Security Council, they want the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, but they could not. They were being told that they could not vote their conscience.
So they were being told that they had to vote. You know, they had to join us if they wanted to get any benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is the problem that left and right, we have Egypt right now having aid taken away from them because they have refused to support the U.S. position at the WTO in a lawsuit against the EU.
Yeah.
People need to join organizations like 50 Years, Africa Action, www.africaaction.org, TransAfrica Forum, organizations like Food First, foodfirst.org, and
Jokey, I have to stop you there. I'm sorry, I've run out of time here, but africafirst.org, 50years.org. Thank you very much, Jokey Jehu. I appreciate your being with us. Stay with the Tom Hartman Program. We'll return in just a few moments.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Well, let's see. I finally finished fixing everything I need to in the kitchen. Now, on to the baby's room. Little Kenny will love what I'm going to do in there.
Honey?
Huh?
Little Kenny left for college last week.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of home appliances and lawn equipment, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Good life, great price.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the share thingy, as explained by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that lets you see your digital photos on TV with the whole family sharing in the fun, instead of passing around the camera.
So at Radio Shack, when you ask for...
But what are those share thingies?
We know you're looking for TV Pick Share. Just plug and play to turn your TV into a digital photo viewer. So come in for easy answers to all of your electronic accessory needs.
And like you always tell your kids, sharing is a good thing.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sands and hills and rains. The ocean is a desert with its life underground and the perfect disguise above. Under the cities lies a heart made of ground, but the humans will give no.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, lively conversation, Pat Robertson ranting on and on. He's not in the chat room, but people talking about how Pat Robertson has been very upset that the Bush administration has said that the president of Liberia should go, that Robertson thinks that that's paving the way for Muslims to come in and for Islam. Interesting. We'll see what happens. Pat Robertson, of course, also apparently has some substantial economic interests in the area. That is to say, he personally is an investor in apparently a diamond mine, $8 million, something like that, or a gold mine. Here's an idea, says Brain Shrub. Pass an international law that makes it illegal to loan money to a dictatorship, or once a government becomes a democracy, they shouldn't have to pay debt back accrued under the dictator. This would starve dictators out of business since they wouldn't have any money. Great idea. Unfortunately, at the system, I mean, so many of these countries that ran up these huge debts were countries that we were supporting, that in many cases we actually brought into power when they ran up these huge debts. Back on March 7th, 1998,
5 years ago, the New York Times, as a prophetic story by Howard French, competition heats up for West Africa's oil wealth. First of all, check out a map of Africa. And what you'll see is that there's this area called the Gulf of Guinea. It's on the western coast of Africa. Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and the Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast in English. I never did learn French. And this area, the Gulf of Guinea, last year, the New York Times says, offshore petroleum production, this was 1997, offshore petroleum production, which was begun here only recently by Mobil Oil Corporation, this is from Guinea, earned this poverty-stricken country an estimated $100 million, effectively doubling the gross domestic product overnight. What is more, Mobil's production, currently hovering at about 80,000 barrels a day from a single deepwater field named Safiro, is projected to grow steadily. And the Gulf of Guinea, quote, Angola will soon be supplying 10% of U.S. oil imports, which is considerably more than Kuwait during the Gulf War, said James P. Rubin of the United States State Department. Thanks for joining us today on the Tom Hartman Program. Tune back in Monday, same time, same place. Have a wonderful weekend.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.